everybody. Welcome to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are still in summer, and I hope everybody's having a good time. I know I am, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the beach when we can. We had a great vacation with the family, and the kids are doing all kinds of different activities. They're doing camp. They're staying at home bored. They're doing all kinds of fun stuff. I think it's important for kids to just learn how to be bored. So I've made that a priority this summer, as well as incorporating some fun stuff and some learning opportunities. So I hope that you have been able to manage your kids' time very well as your own, and are getting some flexibility at work so that you can get out there and have some fun in the sun. And, for all of these things to happen, it takes money. And as working moms, I know that's the forefront of our minds, is making sure that we manage our money properly and that we're able to provide our kids with some of those extras, those things that make life a little more fun. And it's not always easy to squeeze in that vacation financially, let alone the time. And it's not always easy to have to tell your kid, yeah, you know what, I know that Billy's doing that, but we're not going to be able to do that this summer. And what we'd like to do is give you some tools to maybe help us out financially with that wealth building and with that management of the money, and seeing, how far we can stretch it and how much more we can do with what we've got, and how we can leverage it properly. So here today to help us with that is Kimberly Palmer. Thank you so much for joining us, Kimberly.
Hi, Bettina. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you were the senior money editor at U.S. News & World Report for 9 years, and you were the author of The Economy of You, Discover Your Inner Entrepreneur and Recession-Proof Your Life, which I think is a great title. And you're also an adjunct professor at American University, where you teach a course on mastering social media, which I thought is fascinating because of your finance background. And you've got 2 kids. You're a working mom yourself. So I think, you are more than qualified to help us out here on this finance front.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
Now, you've got a new book called Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family. And this is 100% geared towards us, our demographic, our audience, our listeners, the working moms, and speaking to our specific sensibilities when it comes to personal finance and the larger financial issues we face. So, I appreciate you taking the time to speak specifically to this group of the population. Now, what made you decide to focus a book strictly on Smart Mom, Rich Mom?
Yeah, well, when I became a mom, which was about 6 years ago, my daughter is 6 and my son is 3, I realized that there was a lack of guidance on what I felt like were the decisions I had to make as a mom financially. I mean, so much is on our shoulders in terms of not just the day-to-day costs, like, how are we going to afford just our monthly expenses, which go up so much when we have kids, but also the long-term things. I mean, suddenly I wanted to try to think about saving for college, not forget about saving for my own retirement too. So basically becoming a mom changed everything about my financial life, and I think for a lot of people it does. So I wanted to write a book addressing all of that.
I think that's fantastic because it's something that I think a lot of people don't specifically identify, but it's so true. Your priorities change, your thinking changes, and like you said, your long-term goals don't just include your own personal retirement. They include, what is it that I want to, what foundation do I want to lay for my child as I send them out into the world? I'm spending all this time trying to raise them properly and educate them. What about college? What does that look like? How much money do I need to save? Do I need to save at all? Am I going to set this child up for student loans? What does it all mean? So, I think it's really important that we do look at it differently than just your basic wealth building and personal finance, because the perspective of a mom is quite different. So I appreciate the fact that you've carved that out and recognized that.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. It's so different. And the other big aspect I didn't even mention is just how it impacts our earning potential too, because, so many of us are still working and trying to juggle everything, and it's so hard to do it all. So I learned so much from the moms that I interviewed for the book. And yeah, I love sharing that and love sharing what I learned from them.
Now, I love that in writing this book, you interviewed a lot of different moms and you were able to compile, you know, other people's stories and experiences and their tips from, you know, being in the trenches and living it and making mistakes, having successes and figuring it all out. So, you know, as we all know, the more that we share these stories, the more that we all keep the dialogue open, the more we can understand, you know, that we don't have to make the mistakes ourselves. We can learn from those of others, and we can also learn from the successes of others. So when we come back from the break, we're going to dig into what you learned and what's in this book. So stay with us. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. We are talking to the author of Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family, Kimberly Palmer. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Bettina.
So now let's talk about the real issues that face moms when they're trying to build their financial success. Let's talk about how to handle short-term dips in income that often happen during those child-raising years.
Yes, this is a huge issue for moms because for so many of us, we have to basically fund our own maternity leave. So if we're planning to take any time off when we have a baby, we have to save and plan for that in advance. So what I've really learned from talking to moms who have gone through this and done a great job at it, is that as soon as you know you're expecting, you really have to almost already act like you're either lost your income, the income you expect to lose while you're on leave, however long that is. And at the same time, think about when you do return to work, those child care costs, because that is a huge expense for working parents. So planning for those two things, both the lost income and then the increase in expenses for child care when you go back to work. And what often helps moms, especially new moms, is to set aside money for those two things as soon as you know you're expecting, basically. So you can have a bit of a nest egg to help you through that time, which really for a lot of parents is a really lean period when you're struggling to deal with all of these changes, including the financial ones.
Especially for the first time moms, because you know, it's not something that you really understand until you're in it.
And then it
becomes a harsh reality. And, you know, I know there are a lot of great leaders in this country who are working towards making this a little less of an issue for our American families. And I'm hoping that, you know, we start to see a lot more improvement on that front. But until we do, it is a reality that it does become a lean time for people, and that not only does maternity leave become an issue, but those childcare costs that end up being ongoing once you're back to work are, you know, they do eat into your ability to save, and can actually also put a crunch on your monthly nut as well. But you know, when we're looking at trying to save extra and all we can really do is get through the month, that becomes an issue. So the more that you can predict that and see it coming and, you know, crunch those numbers as soon as you get that positive test, yeah. Start crunching those numbers and figure them out and preparing for it. That's really great advice. Now, let's talk about how to cut back on routine household expenses to redirect money towards important long-term goals like college savings and retirement.
Yes. So sometimes it's really just about shifting a habit. So a lot of us get into the habit, expensive habits, that we can then shift. So the first thing to do is to get some insight into where your money is going right now. Sit down and just look at your last credit card statement, see where your money is going. I did this for myself with my family, and I actually realized that our family habit, our routine of Friday night, pizza night, we watch a movie, we order pizza. If we shifted that to making our own pizza, so, you know, you can buy like the dough and the sauce for under $10, basically. So if we make our own pizza, which it turns out my kids actually enjoy even more, then we can save $1,200 a year and, you know, put that towards college. or whatever. Yeah. So it's those shifts can sometimes be really eye-opening. We don't always realize where our money is going and how even a small change that really doesn't involve that much sacrifice can help redirect that money into a bigger long-term goal.
I had a friend who, on that same line of thinking, had a Starbucks habit, and she used to go every day to Starbucks, and she would spend, you know, almost $6 on Starbucks. And when she broke that down and saw how much that was costing her over the course of a year and what she could do with that money, she was, I mean, it was like this giant light bulb went off, and she felt so empowered. And it is one of those things where you get in this habit that you're just used to putting out this money for something that's not necessarily something you have to do, but you can still, you know, you can still get that caffeine, but you can do it in a cheaper way.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to give up the caffeine. You can still have great coffee, but yeah, it doesn't have to cost $6 a day.
Exactly. Maybe, you know, and if you're doing it every day, you know, maybe just cut it back. You don't have to, you know, kill the habit altogether. You know, maybe you make it a special treat now and then rather than something that you do on a daily basis. So I think that's fantastic advice. And it's something that we all can, you know, we can all identify something in our lives that is, you know, that is not necessarily, you know, a deal breaker. It's something that we can maybe at least adjust, if not, you know, get rid of entirely, or, you know, figure out some type of way around the expenditure. All right, we're going to come back with more about how to manage our personal finances right after the break. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
Ready to become an entrepreneur and purchase a business, but need funding? Sure, you can ask Dad, Aunt Betty, or friends for money, or you can turn to a company that has helped more than 10,000 entrepreneurs successfully launch their dreams of business ownership, Benetrends Financial. Through Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies, entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's BENETRENDS.com. Benetrends.
Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are continuing our conversation with Kimberly Palmer. She is the author of Smart Mom, Rich Mom, Helping Moms Build Wealth While Raising Our Families. Now, before we get back into the conversation, where can our listeners find you online if they want to learn more about what you're up to, and where can they get your book?
Yeah, so my website is kimberly-palmer.com. My book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, of course, is in bookstores, on Amazon, and I'm on Twitter. It's at Kimberly Palmer.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Now let's talk about insurance, because I know this is one of those that not everybody really understands how to manage. But what type of insurance policies do we need to buy to protect our families against unexpected events?
This is such an important topic. I really realize that people do not like talking about it. It's kind of depressing to think about, but it's so important to protect our families to take out life insurance, first of all, because if one of the big earners in your family, the primary breadwinners in your family, you know, if that income were suddenly lost, it would just be, you know, financially so stressful, compounding upon, you know, whatever other trauma you've just gone through with an unexpected loss. So you definitely want to think about life insurance. And then also another one that often gets overlooked is disability insurance. A lot of us, we, you know, plan to stay in the workforce for a long time, and all sorts of things can happen that cause us to have to take disability insurance. So you want to make sure you're protected. One thing to look at is that through our workplace benefits, you often have access to both those kinds of insurance. So you want to see if you can take that out through your job, your partner's job. That is a great way to save money on that. We often overlook our workplace benefits, and, you know, that's just leaving money on the table. So the first place to look is check in with your workplace, see what's available to you, what you have signed up for, what you can still sign up for. Flex spending, too, can save you a lot of money over time. So definitely don't forget about that.
Yeah, and, you know, we realize that this is not the fun stuff. This is not the stuff that everybody wants to talk about. It can be depressing. It can be something that, you know, we just don't want to deal with. But we got to deal with it sometime, and it's important, you know, when we're moms. And so, you know, we do deal with, you know, the yucky side of life a lot. You know, we're wiping people's
butts.
We have
to.
You know, we do have to pay attention to those things that we don't necessarily, they're outside of our comfort zone, but insurance is huge. It's a really big deal. So, you know, it's things like that and, you know, planning your will and, you know, all of those things that are not fun. We do need to take a moment, stop and do that. And pay attention to it. Now, One of the more fun things, because I think this can be really fun, is you have some advice on how to teach our kids about money starting at a young age. Because as moms, I think it excites us to think, you know what, I'm going to empower my kid. I'm going to make sure that my kid knows how to handle money and how to be successful. And what do you recommend we start to do?
Yes, this topic is so important because I actually found in my research that even as young as 8 years old, you start to see gender differences in how kids talk about money, with even 8-year-old boys saying parents talk to them more about money than 8-year-old girls. And so the big message, the big takeaway for parents is just to make sure you're talking about money with your kids. I mean, they watch everything we do. So make sure that when you're shopping, when you're making decisions, you're explaining what you're doing to your kids. I actually love to have my 6-year-old daughter come sit next to me now when I'm paying bills. So if I get something like the utility bill in the mail, I'll have her sit next to me, explain what I'm doing. She now comes up with ideas for how we can save, you know, use less water and save money. So it's all about having these conversations.
I love that. That's so great. I haven't done with that. I have a 6-year-old daughter as well. I haven't done that with her yet. That's a good one. You know, and actually she's probably right at that point where she's ready to pay a little more attention.
They get into it.
Well, and they come up with the funniest questions and the most interesting insights. And yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm interested to see where she takes that.
Yeah.
Now, I find it fascinating that you see the gender differences, that parents are just speaking to the boys more than they are to the girls about these things. So that's something that, you know, we need to keep our eyes on as well. You know, it's funny. We don't even realize sometimes when those biases come into play. So giving ourselves, you know, that heads up that, to make sure that we're treating everyone the same is very important. Now, how about you? Now, were you a big saver as a child? Is this something that you've always been able to do and had a handle on, or no?
Yeah, well, it's all about my mom, because she talked to us about money. I have two younger sisters as well. She actually wrote us a letter about money explaining all of the mistakes that she'd made, basically what she wanted us to do when I was about 21. And I took that with me. And now, I mean, I plan to do the same thing with my kids when they're a little older. I think writing your kids a letter and sharing your values and thoughts can be so powerful. And my mom, I mean, she's such a role model to me. It definitely taught me a lot, just made me realize I need to be thinking about money.
You know, it's so interesting how as adults you start to see what was effective that our parents did, you know, and apply that to our parenting. Because you, no matter what, you know, the more we have all these experts on and we read different things, and at the end of the day, you know, taking that look back on what worked that our parents did, and, you know, what do we need to maintain and what do we need to throw out? You know, that's super important. You know, that's a great resource for us to always pay attention to and always think about. Now, is Smart Mom, Rich Mom available everywhere?
It sure is. It's available everywhere, you know, online, in bookstores. It just came out.
I love it. All right. Well, we will run out and get our copies immediately. I hope that you do too. Don't forget to follow Kimberly on social media and get all those great tips as you go, because I'm sure, you know, you're always learning something new. There's always something new to follow and to learn about and everything. And we so appreciate you taking the time to be here and share your insight with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about $10 a month to join, so even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. And, you know, we were talking about finances in the first half of the show. And now I want to talk about, you know, a lot of the times we love to bring you these stories about working moms who have ventured out and started their own companies and taken that need for a product or that, you know, they see an opening in the market where they're just trying to have something for their kids. They're just trying to you know, fill a need in their own household. And they realize that the marketplace doesn't have what they're looking for. And so they start it themselves. And they take that passion for what it is that they want to create. And they create their own companies and they start to see success. And I know that a lot of women are in transition. A lot of women are wanting to feed that entrepreneurial spirit they have within them, maybe not so satisfied in the jobs that they're in or the careers they're in, want to make a change. And so we like to bring you these folks, you know, so you can hear firsthand what it is that they became passionate about and why, and what steps they took to make it happen. Because at the end of the day, you know, the more we learn from others, the more we share our stories, the more we can inspire one another. And as working moms, I think that is of vital importance that we inspire one another. So here today with us is the founder of Pure Spoon, Allison Everly. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, explain to us what Pure Spoon is.
So Pure Spoon is the first company in the country to offer fresher options for purees. And Pure Spoon was started when I was a new mom 5 years ago, very tired, very overwhelmed, but very determined to give my daughter the best food possible. And so I ended up making it all at home because when I went to the grocery store, I couldn't find anything that I was comfortable feeding her. And did that all day Sunday and then usually on Wednesday or Thursday. And I said, there's got to be a better way. You can't have either the choice of kind of going to the grocery store and picking shelf-stable options with a whole bunch of ingredients that I don't know how to pronounce or certainly spell, you know, that's cooked in the packaging that doesn't have a lot of nutrition or flavor. Or the other option is to buy everything and then cook it at home and make sure that it stays fresh for her. So I wanted to give other parents what I wanted to see at the grocery store but couldn't find.
And, you know, it's so funny because the best entrepreneurial stories that I hear start just like that. I was looking for something. I couldn't find it. And so I just decided to bring it to the market myself. And I have to say, you know, my kids are now 6 and 4.5, but I remember quite clearly doing that whole buying the whole foods and pureeing them and, you know, taking hours to prepare things and labeling them in the fridge and in the freezer and all of that. And wishing, you know, that I could just grab one of those pouches and go. And, you know, looking at those pouches and looking at the ingredients going, I didn't put all this effort into creating this little body so that I could, you know, put this stuff in it.
Exactly right. And then I found out with more research, you know, that they're cooking it in the packaging. And so you're kind of picking convenience over, or for me anyway, what I felt was good nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I was a picky eater growing up, and I didn't want to cultivate that with my daughter. And I have to say, she eats anything that you put in front of her, and I'm very fortunate because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, how did you know how to go about this? What was your background?
Not in food. I actually don't even cook a lot at my house. So when I was cooking for her, it was a whole lot of work that I thought, you know, you're pureeing fruits and vegetables. How is it possible that it's taking me this long to do this when I would rather be out with her playing or sleeping? You know, all moms know that is, we don't have a whole bunch of that. Nobody had done it. So I knew that it was an uphill battle. And I just worked with we worked with a licensed pediatric dietitian to say, what is available to parents and what's missing? Because I wanted to fill that gap. And so we learned quickly that our little kiddos need fat for brain development and some other things. And we're not talking about fats, you know, fried food fats. We're talking about good fat, omega-3s, DHA. And a perfect food for that is avocado. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to figure out how to get some avocado in there and some other ingredients in there that hasn't been done before. And then how do we do it to keep it fresh, but keep it fresh long enough so you can buy it at the grocery store and don't have to eat it as soon as you get it home? Because everybody who has kids know that they'll love something for a few days and then you put it in front of them and they'll say, nah, not today.
What
and maybe
is that?
Not for the next few days. I don't know why.
It's a conspiracy against our pocketbooks.
Like, wait a minute, I just made this for you. You have to eat it. So that's when I learned about HPP, or high-pressure pasteurization. And HPP is keeping the food safe, so it's pasteurizing the food. But instead of using heat, high heat, to pasteurize it, which depletes the food of nutrition and flavor, you use high pressure. And so it's a cold-pressed or cold-pasteurization technique to keep the food fresh and safe. And nobody had done it for purees before. And it took me about a year and a half to figure out how to do it for our food. But we figured it out.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing that you didn't have a background in food, yet you were able to get all of this done because you were passionate about it. And so you figured
it
out.
I'm a mama on a mission.
Yeah.
I wanted to figure this out.
Nothing more unstoppable than a mama on a mission. So now HPP basically means higher nutritional value and more flavor than traditional high heat pasteurization. And the high heat pasteurization, in a nutshell, it depletes those two things, depletes the nutrition and the flavor, correct?
That's right. So when you're using, it's very canning, for example. I mean, everybody knows what high heat pasteurization is. It's when you're boiling something. And you're doing that to kill any of the pathogens, bacteria, anything like that, that can over time reproduce, and there will be enough of that particular pathogen or bacteria in there where it could harm whoever's eating it. And we're feeding little guys. And so it's a lot, I think they're more sensitive to what potentially could grow. And so you want to make sure that you're keeping the food safe, but if you're going to give them the food, you want to make sure if you're giving them an apple or you're giving them a carrot or you're giving them an avocado, that you're getting all of the nutrition. Well, when you do it at home, you're giving them that nutrition. If you don't have time to make it at home, then how do you offer that same sort of nutrition and flavor without making it at home and getting it at the store or online? And that's what we were able to figure out with HPP and our custom containers.
So really for our working moms, you know, out there, this is kind of the perfect solution. It really does. You know, when we're so busy and we're so crunched on time and, you know, sometimes we do sacrifice nutrition for convenience, you've created a scenario where we don't have to do that.
I didn't want people to feel like they had to. I didn't want to pressure anybody into buying something that they didn't understand or they didn't want. But if you're wanting to get better nutrition and better taste, then how do I give that to people? I wanted to offer parents what I wanted to see. So anything that we make at Pure Spoon, I would give my daughter. And she's 5, and she still takes them to school in her lunchbox. I mean, she's a big fan. She'll clean me out of all my samples.
I love that. All right, we're going to be right back after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and you're listening to Working Mother Radio.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are talking about Pure Spoon. Now, let me just give you the rundown on Pure Spoon. It's the first to market maker of 100% organic fruit and veggie purees for kids made with HPP, which is a cool temperature, high pressure pasteurization technique. And that means higher nutritional value and more flavor than traditional high heat pasteurization, which depletes nutrition and flavor. Now we are talking to the founder of this company. Her name is Allison Eberle, and she is, you know, based in Austin, Texas. And Allison, basically, what she did was she saw a need and she filled it. She was looking for options for her children or for her child that were unavailable. And so she decided to bring to market what she wanted to see in the market. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I know that, that we see this quite often, and it ends up being the most successful, brands out there because that's what you want to find, is that opening, and you want to get that filled, and you've got your niche market and you're good to go. So Allison, let's talk about the struggles, because I know entrepreneurship always comes with struggles. So let's talk about that. Because obviously you're a mom. And so there's mm-hmm. the aspect of, you know, you've got your child and you're juggling the balance of being a mom and having, you know, having a company and the dedication that it takes to build something, to build a company, to do all that research and to build the finances and to, you know, get into production and build a team and all of that. So let's talk about your journey as far as that goes and how you managed it.
Well, I've always been a working mom. So before I started Pierce Spoon, I actually started and owned another company, ironically, tutoring company. So I kind of went from educating kiddos to feeding them. And that has always been a part of my daughter's life. For me, to work outside the home keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always looking forward to Monday morning because I kind of crave that everything that goes with starting a company and keeping it going. My balance has always been with my daughter that no matter what is going on, we have time together every day where everything is turned off and it's just she and I. But my daughter, I think, has learned, and it has just been a part of her life, that mommy, when she's on the phone call and it's a business phone call or if she's in a meeting, that she's very respectful of that. And I think that that's very important because it's also teaching her that I'm very respectful of the time that I'm with her. So that's her time with whatever she's doing with me or with us as a family, and that work is put aside. But I will tell you, it is a constant struggle, and it is a constant, it's difficult to strike that balance every day. And I think a lot of working moms can relate to that.
Absolutely. And also, you know, it's there's a lot of I think a lot of people struggle with the self-motivation. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm not happy where I am. I'm not, you know, I'm having a hard time. And they kind of get into the rut of just complaining about where they are, but staying there because it's kind of, you know, the devil, you know. Whereas they'll have a great idea and they won't act on it. For, you know, a litany of reasons. Everybody's got their own situations and their own scenarios. But what would you say to somebody who feels like they do have a great idea, but they just haven't been able to get themselves to pull the trigger on it?
So the first thing I would say is talk to somebody who's been in the same arena that you're thinking about entering. Mentorship has been very important to me from the very beginning. We're the first company in the country to do this. We couldn't reach out to anybody who was doing exactly what we were doing. But we reached out to other food manufacturers or other people who had expertise in distribution or dealing with transportation of something that's perishable. And that was a huge help for me. Instead of stumbling more than what I had to, I could talk to, you know, other working moms, but also other parents in how to, one, do this properly, but two, how do you keep that balance going? And I felt that was really important. And then, of course, paying attention to the reality of when you walk in the door, you still have to be in mommy and wife mode. And that reality is just as important as when you are the founder or the worker of any company.
Mm-hmm. So it really is. It really is a constant effort. And I think that that's really a great point that you brought up with the mentorship, because and that's part of why we like to share these stories too, is because when you get advice from people who have walked that walk and who have been where you're trying to go, it does help you avoid some of the missteps that can happen. And it also helps you to understand what you're really getting into and if it's really something that is right for you. If it is a good fit for you to be working for yourself, if it is a good fit for you to venture out and invest in something, you know, that can be a high pressure situation and can, you know, take a lot of energy and a lot of focus. And, you know, whereas working for a company rather than working for yourself, it's just a different mindset. So talking to other people who have been there, done that, can help you understand what you really need to find within yourself and if you're willing to do that. So I think that's a great piece of advice.
Now, well, they say it takes a village to raise a child. It really takes a village to start a company and to kind of form the entrepreneur that you want to be. You can't operate on an island and do everything by yourself. I mean, you certainly want to take a step back and be retrospective and make sure you're understanding that where you're going and making sure you're in the right direction. But yeah, you certainly need help.
Yep, absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask for it. We are going to be back with more right after the break. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are continuing our conversation with Allison Everly. She's the CEO and founder of Pure Spoon, which is a company who is all about providing the right nutrition for your child in a convenient manner. And Allison, I want you to let our audience know where they can find Pure Spoon products, where they can find you online and on social media.
We will be launching online sales in the next couple weeks, and you can buy all of that on our website, purespoon.com. Currently, we're available at Whole Foods, Wegmans, Target, Sprouts, ShopRite, and some other various retailers. If you go to our website, you can see where all of that can be purchased.
Wonderful. And as far as social media goes, where can we find you?
So we're on Facebook, and we're very active on Facebook. I think it's just /Pure Spoon. And then, of course, we also have Twitter, which is @Pure Spoon.
Awesome. Now, you've talked about throughout this conversation, you've talked about your daughter. And I have a daughter, and it's so interesting to me to watch our daughters watch us and see the example that we're setting for them and see, you know, how they perceive what mommy's doing and, you know, the level of involvement that they can't do or don't have, you know, in what we are up to. And I want to talk to you about that. What are your hopes for your daughter in her future and what she's receiving from you while she's watching you on this journey of entrepreneurship?
Well, people ask me that question, and I think it's a very important question because so much of being a working mother is we're riddled with guilt because we're working and we're missing some of the activities or events or moments that if we weren't working, we would be able to be there. But you can't be in two places at one time. That's the next company I need to start. How can we be in two places at one time?
The cloning company.
That would be great. But we can't. So what we need to do is value and appreciate the time that we have with them. What I want Riley, my daughter, to understand is that you can do anything that you want to do, whatever that is, whether that's if you want to stay at home, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a fireman, if you want to be a trash person, is anything that you want to be, you can do. What I want to instill in her is work ethic. Not so much if she's going to be working out of the home or in the home and what her career goals are going to be. I want her to, whatever she wants to grow up and be, that she's a good person and she works really hard at it. And at the end of the day, she feels good about what she's doing. Because that's what I hope she sees in me and her father, for that matter, that's what we're doing on a daily basis.
I think that's so important. I'm so glad that you said that because work ethic is something that really is one of those teach by example things. You know, you can't just say work hard. You know, that's such a vague, such a ambiguous statement, you know, work hard. Well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? How does that play out in your life? What is, you know, how does that look? And when you are someone who is actually working hard and showing that example and able to, you know, your child's able to look at that and say, oh, okay, this is how you build success. This is how you feel good about yourself. This is how you achieve a goal. That's huge. And it's not something that you can just explain. It's something that you need to see in action. So I appreciate that that's what you want for Riley. And I bet you anything she's getting it from watching you do all of this. So congratulations.
I hope so.
One working mom to another, congratulations on all of your efforts. And again, you know, it's called Pure Spoon, PureSpoon. And go visit purespoon.com. I know I have a Whole Foods by my house and I'm going to go check it out. But definitely, you know, not only support a fellow working mom, but it's a great product. So we all want to put the right things in our bodies and our children's bodies. So this is a great way to do that. Thank you so much for being here today with us, Allison.
Thank you.
I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and that is it for us for today. I keep saying this, I feel like I've broken record, but these shows are just so much fun and they just fly by because there's so much great information and I really truly enjoy bringing it to you every week. Don't forget to visit us on workingmother.com. Get the latest and greatest there. We have the best articles you could possibly imagine on everything that is pertinent to you as a working mom. Click on the video page, check out all the interviews that I'm doing with all of the different experts in every which subject you could possibly want to know. We love to hear your feedback. I'm at Bettina Bush on Twitter, on Facebook, at Bettina Bush Official on Instagram. I'd love to hear from you. I want to know what you want to hear from us. So please stay in touch with us and let's exchange information and let's exchange ideas. And don't forget, there's no way to be a perfect mom, but there are a million ways to be a good one. Thanks for having us along on the journey. We'll see you next week.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.